You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this crossover Thursday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day here, every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or your favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap and pay with contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. On today's episode, we are diving deep into the Saints' upcoming Sunday night matchup with the Green Bay Packers. On this crossover Thursday, I'll be joined by Peter Bukowski of the Locked On Packers podcast in segments 2 and 3 to discuss what's gone wrong for the Saints, what's gone right for the Packers, and exactly how the Saints can get a win in the Dome. But before we get to that, the Saints are still favored in this game against the Packers, which might be curious to some, but it's not entirely unwarranted, as there are 3 key matchups for the Saints to exploit if they can get their offense going. I'll tell you exactly where the Saints need to win on offense to win on Sunday. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Analytics may explain why the New Orleans Saints open as -3 favorites as they host the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. As New Orleans looks to turn around their offensive production, they have a decent matchup in the pack defense. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. The New Orleans Saints enter week 3 after an irritating loss to the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday Night Football, a game where the offense and defense just did not live up to expectations, despite, though, the reaction of national media that Drew Brees is done, Drew Brees is washed, the Saints can't win with him. The Saints will look to bounce back against a fellow top NFC contender in the Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers, and the Saints defense are going to have their hands full trying to contain Davante Adams as well as Aaron Jones while matching up with a talented offensive line, yes. However, the Saints' biggest struggle in week 2 came against Raiders tight end Darren Waller, a player whose style and fit the Packers just simply don't possess. So if New Orleans and their defense can get back to either their week 1 play or even just a happy medium between the 2 recent games that they've had here, it might be enough to get the ball in the hands of Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook, and of course Sean Payton just enough as they look to reactivate their offense. And the Saints are opening this game, as I mentioned, -3 home favorites despite Monday's loss. And the analytics actually agree with Vegas, particularly in the matchup when it comes to the Saints offense versus the Green Bay defense. If the Saints are going to get back on track, this might actually be the defense to do it against. For instance, in ESPN's advanced stat pass block win rate, the Saints are ranked 4th at 69%. They're going up against Green Bay's 18th ranked pass rush win rate per ESPN. So when you look at that, the Saints have a much better pass protection than Green Bay actually offers pass rush at the moment. Now, we'll have to see if Kenny Clark is going to be available. He did not practice on Wednesday, but certainly if he's out, this defensive line may struggle against the Saints offensive line, especially if they're able to start Cesar Ruiz over Eric McCoy at that right guard position, hopefully shoring up the interior offensive line, which has caused the Saints so much trouble over, we can say, their last 3 games, going back to the wild card loss to Minnesota. When you look at the run game as well, the Saints have a 69% run block win rate as opposed to and compared to the Packers' only 31% run stop rate. That's good news for Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray, and Sean Payton, who want to run. They didn't get the opportunity to do that too much last game, as the defense was giving up 24 points in a row. But the Saints could end up being in a position here to where they're going to be able to run the ball the way that they want to, and the way that we saw them really work to do during the opening game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On a large scale, you can also look at where the Saints rank when it comes to where they win above average and where the Packers defense performs below the league average using Football Outsiders DVOA metric, which measures a team's efficiency by comparing the success of every single play across the NFL and then comparing it to a league average. So with that metric, the New Orleans Saints offense is actually ranked 12th in total offense DVOA according to Football Outsiders, while Green Bay's total defense is ranked 26th. That is a huge margin. So with the Saints, they're going to need players that are going to be able to step up at particular spots across the field, even if Michael Thomas somehow manages to play. If they want to get the best outcome and production, they're going to need three particular positions to step up where Green Bay struggles to defend. And Green Bay right now struggles in these three areas. Green Bay is 29th in DVOA in defending a team's wide receiver two. They're 24th against running backs, and they are dead last in the league against tight ends, which signals good news for Emmanuel Sanders, Alvin Kamara, and Jared Cook, three weapons that you absolutely want to see the Saints be able to succeed with. So for the Saints to get a win on Sunday, it's going to take trust, it's going to take cohesion, but all above else, it's going to take execution across an already talented roster. So ironically, as we look at this matchup on Sunday night against a very talented Green Bay team, we talk a lot about how talented that team is and how good that team is, but the Saints may really be the only thing standing in their own way in terms of taking advantage of the mismatches that they can create against this defense, particularly at the tight end, running back, and wide receiver position. What more can you ask for an offense, right? What more can you ask for an offense? So this is going to be a big test for the Saints, yes, but this could also be the perfect matchup for the Saints and the matchup that the Saints have been looking for. And speaking of what you've been looking for, we got Crossover Thursday coming up for you here next. Peter Bukowski and myself really breaking down this Saints and Packers game. I had a blast with this one. I can't wait for you to hear it. Some really good stuff in here, and that is coming right up. But first, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. You want to talk about some really good stuff in there? Everything you need at rockauto.com and more. Things you didn't even know you could buy for your car. You can get over at rockauto.com, and they have whatever you need and more for whatever make and model you have, whatever year it is, doesn't matter. And not only that, you're going to get options for everything as well. And they're all going to come to you at the fraction of the price that you're going to pay at one of the brick and mortar popular stores from around the corner. Doesn't matter if you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer, you're paying the same price, you're saving money, and you don't even have to leave your house. You can do it from the comfort of your own couch, comfort of your own bed, comfort of your own dinner table, wherever it is that you want to browse rockauto.com. They got you covered. So check them out for your Dodge, your Daewoo, your Fiat, your Ford, whatever it is that you're looking for and whatever part you need, they have you taken care of. They're a family business. They've been working with auto parts customers for over 20 years. So go ahead and check them out, rockauto.com. Don't forget to let them know that you heard about them here on the show, right? Locked On and the How'd You Hear About Us section, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
We're here for another Crossover Thursday, a week three event. Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints, Locked On Packers. And this is so much fun, Ross. I absolutely cannot wait, not just to talk to you about it, but then to have the game. So many angles to this. I wrote yesterday that this is a game where you have seeming mirror images of one another. The all-world quarterback, the star running back, the star receiver. And then Matt LaFleur, in a lot of ways, his career trajectory is mirroring some of the early Sean Payton offensive guru type stuff. This is going to be a really fun matchup. When you look at this game, if you just want to take this as big picture or as granular as you want, if you had to pick one thing and say, this is going to decide the game, what is that one thing?
Just one? I think that like over on the Saints...
Solve the game for Sean Payton. I know, right? What I'm
I think over... one thing that I'll pick is execution. I think that Sean Payton's play calling was much improved the second week. He did have some issues with play calling the first week. He noted it himself as one of his worst play calling games ever. And so I think that he improved there against the Raiders. The play calling was there. The execution, though, just simply was not. And even over on Dennis Allen's side, Dennis Allen can only do so much aside from literally removing players from the field. if you can't execute in your coverage assignments, or if you end up getting, John Gruden did a really great job of creating mismatches with his personnel packages, coming out with big personnel packages to take advantage of a Saints team that lived in nickel and dime defense, literally never played a single snap in their 4-3 base defense. And so the Raiders did a really good job taking advantage of that. And a lot of that had to do with the lack of execution over on the Saints side, as well as responding to game planning and just good gamesmanship by John Gruden. So for me, the thing that is sort of the end all be all for the Saints is going to be execution.
Yeah, and I went back and looked last year against tight ends. New Orleans had a top 10 defense by DVOA. They were the number 8th defense in the league handling tight ends. They have a team that you would think with Demario Davis and Malcolm Jenkins are ideally suited to handle someone like Darren Waller. And I think to your point, it was about packaging. It was about the window dressing, whether it was the formations around it, or it was dictating to the Saints how they were going to play, that Gruden was able to take advantage of those opportunities. For the Packers, they want to play in big personnel. We saw them do it against the Lions. The Lions lived in nickel as well. And all it did was allow the Packers to steamroll them. And Aaron Jones had a career day. So how do you envision the Saints accounting for that? Are they going to have to play a little bit bigger? Are they going to say what Mike Pettine often says is, if you want to run the ball, go ahead?
Yeah, I think that for the Saints, it very much is that latter point. It very, very much the same, to where they're going to say, if you want to run the ball, go ahead. And they feel really good about the way that they defend the run in, let's say, nickel sets, for instance, which they should, because they've proven that they can do that. Now, they gave up 88 rushing yards to Josh Jacobs last week, of course, but that was also, you know, 3.3 yard per average throughout that game to the entire team on 35 rushes. So the Saints will live with that. No problem. And I think that when you look at, you know, those moments to where they took advantage of the matchups over on, particularly with Darren Waller, the big tight end for them, who's like essentially a wide receiver anyway, but the guy's outstanding. But you knew that Demario Davis was going to be the most effective defender on him, and he was. But the issue is that if you assign Demario Davis and say, go and take out, you know, Darren Waller, go and take care of Darren Waller, then all of a sudden the middle of your defense is wide open, because that's where Demario Davis is usually the most effective in patrolling. So that's when you saw those passes start coming over the middle to guys like, you know, Foster Moreau and Hunter Renfrow and Nelson Aguilar and the running backs out of the backfield, things like that. And I know that that's something else that the Saints are really going to have to pay attention to, because they can say, hey, we'll play in nickel defense, we'll play in dime defense, and we'll let you run the ball if you want to. But at the same time, they have to get back to where they were also last season, not only in defending tight ends, but also defending pass catching backs out of the backfield, which obviously Aaron Jones and those running backs in Green Bay, like, that's I imagine that's exactly what it is that Matt LaFleur wants to do. So the Saints have to be ready for that.
Yeah, the Packers running game on Sunday against the Lions, 35 carries, 259. That's a 7.4 yard per carry average. Ooh. And I went and looked at their EPA, their rush EPA. I mentioned this to you the other day, is so crazy. It is so efficient. They would be the 11th best passing team. That's how efficient their run offense is right now. It's ridiculous. And speaking of passing efficiency, we haven't seen it from the Saints so far. And even in week one, when Michael Thomas was available, we didn't see it. One of the least productive games of Drew Brees' career. On Monday night, Drew Brees got to 300 yards. And I messaged you offline. I said, it is the most misleading 300 yards from a star quarterback I can remember, because it was 300 seemingly non-impactful yards, certainly yards that were not earned by Drew Brees. It was almost all dump downs to Kamara and Tre'Quan Smith. What, Ross, what is going on with Drew Brees?
When you look at what Drew Brees has here, he has an offensive line in front of him who's fourth right now in ESPN's pass block win rate. He has an offensive line that is also giving him 2.67 seconds to pass, which is beyond what he usually looks for, which is 2.5. He has all of that, and he has the weapons. However, they're still 24th in EPA per play. They're not explosive, and they're not efficient. So what is this offense supposed to be? And Drew Brees right now is also dead last in completion percentage above expected at only 64.7%, which ranks 21st in the NFL. So it's not what we're used to seeing from him for sure, but the issues are fixable on the offensive side. Drew Brees did a press conference on Wednesday and he was asked about, you know, what is it that fans don't see at home when they're sitting down and they're watching games that could lead sometimes to these plays not connecting and passes not going, not being completed. And a big part of what Drew talked about was timing. And if you look back and you watch the film against Las Vegas, timing was disrupted consistently throughout that game, whether it be bumps or rubs by defenders, whether it be pressing at the line of scrimmage, or whether it just simply be Drew Brees' timing was off or the receiver's timing was off. That's just not going to cut it right now. And the Saints are going to have to figure out a way to get that fixed.
When we come back, Ross is going to take the wheel here and put me in the hot seat to give a little bit more insight on the Packers side of this marquee matchup.
Yes, and before we continue here, I want to let you all know that today's episode is brought to you by MyBookie. Invest in your intuition. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. All right, y'all, welcome back to our Crossover Thursday. Myself, Ross Jacksonville, Locked On Saints, joined by the amazing Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. I recommend, if you're the Saints side of this that's listening, go and keep listening to Peter's episodes over at Locked On Packers, because first of all, it's going to give you more in terms of what you need to know about this game this weekend, but also you're just going to be a lot smarter by the time that you're done. So let's go ahead and jump into a couple of questions here that I have for you. You know, the first thing I want to start off with is the Green Bay offense. They are looking fantastic right now. 85 points to start the season. They are over 200 yards per game on the ground, just under 300 yards receiving in the game, in the air. They've been fantastic. What is the difference last year to this year? Is it literally the time that has made all the difference in terms of Aaron Rodgers getting more comfortable in Matt LaFleur's offense? Or is there something else that's really pushing this sort of offensive outburst that's going on for the Packers to open up the year?
Well, you know, what's so great about this is I get to give the same answer you started the show with. Execution. That's right. It. And in year two, this is the kind of internal development we thought this team was capable of. When we talk about, okay, you get to make that advancement in year two of a system, it's not just the sweat equity that you put into it. I mean, that of course is part of it, but it's the little things. I mean, you look at on Sunday, how many different crossing routes and mesh variations and different formations that the Packers put on the field. They were using a lot of different formations and personnel groupings last year. They weren't executing like this. The spacing was a little bit off. They'd run mesh and guys would run into each other. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the spacing and the timing would be a little bit off, where the guys crossing wouldn't be crossing at just the right time. Or, you know, the go route was not spaced properly. And so there were two guys in the same area where they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. It's the little stuff. Matt LaFleur talked about the details all offseason. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it's making sure that on a three-step drop, you have your head around in time, knowing that Rodgers is going to put the ball in a specific place. Those little things have added up, and they've added up in a big way. I think it's really good evidence of the talent that was already on this team, but also the beauty of this system.
Yeah, I mean, it's been impressive to watch, because you look at this Green Bay offense, and you mentioned here as we began the show with the piece that you wrote, that it's kind of like, and I believe the verbiage that you used in the piece was like, it's kind of like the Saints looking in a mirror in a way, in terms of seeing the execution that they should have with their system right now. And I think that's part of what made the Saints so some of the things that made the Saints so uncomfortable over on the defensive side were the comeback routes on the outside, the levels concepts to one side, whether it be on the heavy side or the weak side, even to where they utilize their running back to get out and create those levels. When they used high low concepts, when they attacked the middle of the field with crossing patterns, that's where the Saints fell apart against the Raiders. And that's essentially what the Green Bay Packers are bringing to this game. But I would say at a higher level than what the Raiders had the ability to do, simply because of their supporting cast. We've talked before about the Saints, you know, offline and other stuff that we've done together here, that the Saints struggled against the Raiders' two best weapons, Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs. in Green Bay, there's Devontae Adams, there's Aaron Jones, who I would say are better threats at each of those respectable, not necessarily positions when it comes to Evans and Waller, but as a receiver.
Right.
And then certainly more respectable. And then you look at the supporting cast for the Packers, Alan Lazard, who's like right now, if I remember correctly, he's up at the top, near the tops when it comes to EPA as a receiver in the NFL. You have,
I think he's second in receiver DVOA.
DVOA, that's what I'm looking for. Thank you. And then you have MVS, who's been a fantastically reliable piece for this team as well. And then you have this great offensive line. So is it fair to say that what the Saints are going to face on Sunday is pretty similar to what they're going to face to what they faced and lost to Monday night, but at a higher level?
Yeah, and I think the biggest place is at the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Because the Raiders were playing with multiple backups and then even injuries during the game. I think that they ended up playing with the third string right tackle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, a third string right tackle who was an interior offensive lineman, by the way.
Right. And the Saints, with Cam Jordan and Trey Hendrickson and what I think is a very good front, were still not able to consistently pressure Derek Carr. Using ESPN's win rate stats, the Packers have the number one pass blocking offensive line and the number two run blocking offensive line. Mm-hmm. And through 2 weeks, Aaron Rodgers has been unbothered.
I want to talk a little bit about the Green Bay pass rush, of course, because it has been outstanding. The Saints right now, in terms of their pass block win rate, fourth in the NFL. Their run block win rate is 20th in the NFL, according to ESPN. But the difference between 20 and top five is like 4%. So right. It's just a little bit too early in the season for that one. But in terms of how they're producing over in the pass blocking side, they're producing pretty well, but now they go up against a big test, particularly what's going to be a test for their interior offensive line. I know a lot of people talk about Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith as these great edge rushers, but I feel like Za'Darius Smith in particular, we do a great disservice when we talk about him specifically as an edge defender, not in that we disrespect him as a run defender, which is also true. But he's also really effective from the interior. I noticed as I was looking at these win rates that ESPN puts out each week that Za'Darius Smith at all of 6'4", 275 pounds is number six when it comes to pass rush win rate at defensive tackle. And I thought that was really interesting because we talk a lot for this over on the Saints side about the rotation amongst the defensive line. But I have to imagine that having a guy like Za'Darius Smith that can be that effective on the inside really opens up a lot of opportunities for Pettine, the defensive coordinator, and the Green Bay Packers on that side. So can you tell us a little bit about what the Green Bay Packers do well to win in pass rush?
Well, what it opens up is their opportunity to play three outside linebackers. It allows them to put Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Rashawn Gary all on the field together. And for as good as the Smith brothers were last year, by the way, Rashawn Gary has been the best edge defender for the Packers through 2 weeks. He's been really outstanding, pushing the pocket. He shows so much more hand refinement technique, and he's a little slimmer. He looks a little twitchier, better lateral movement, and he's winning with counters. He's winning with speed to the corner. He's winning with the bull rush, and he wins with effort. I mean, he's one of the most athletic guys in the league. That's not hyperbole. You can go look at the numbers. I mean, one of the most freakishly athletic guys we've ever seen at the combine. And he's finally starting to put some of those pieces together. So what the Packers will do in base, let's say the Saints come out in some sort of, you know, they put Josh Hill on the field, Jared Cook on the field, two receivers. Green Bay might come out with two defensive linemen, three outside linebackers, and an inside linebacker. And rather than play with three down linemen in their 3-4, they'll play with two down linemen and an extra outside linebacker because Za'Darius Smith can line up on the inside and whip whatever guard or center he goes against. They also use him, you know, sometimes with his hand in the dirt, but also a lot on early downs as a run defender, just as a rover. You know, they'll mug the A gaps with him and Christian Kirksey or him and a defensive back of safety. And then you don't know where he's coming from, if he's coming, what the situation is. So it really puts offensive lines in conflict because they have to make decisions on who to block, where to block them. And his ability to win inside has opened up opportunities for Preston and Rashawn Gary on the outside.
Yeah, I think it's massively impressive what they do. It reminds me of what New Orleans does. There's a lot of commonality between these teams, as we often observe when we talk to one another.
The last question that I have for you is that the Saints are going to be looking to get that offense rolling and hopefully be able to find a way to do it, whether it's Drew Brees or just execution across the entire offense. Attacking the secondary in Green Bay, probably not the best choice, as it is a very good and very young, you know, very talented young secondary, but yep. They have had some issues defending against running backs, which is something that we can say about both teams, and against tight ends, which is now also mm-hmm. something we can say about both teams. Where is the best place, in your opinion, for New Orleans to attack this Green Bay defense?
You know, I think you're going to see the best opportunities are going to be in the middle of the field, as they are with most teams. But where Green Bay has been vulnerable in the past is when you go play action, or when you try and send a tight end either on a corner route or a post route, and you have to make the corners and the safety sort of work together in zone if they do catch Green Bay in zone. That's where some mm-hmm. of these breakdowns can happen. The Lions got a big play early to TJ Hockenson on a corner route. You go back to last year, some of the big plays they gave up to George Kittle, to Travis Kelce. And obviously those tight ends are really, really good. Jared Cook is not in their atmosphere, but at the same time, he can run, and we know he can run. Mm-hmm. And so if they're able to give Drew Brees time to hit those shots, I think there are some shots there to be hit. And frankly, I think they're going to need to do that because Green Bay has tackled really well. That used to be an area where you said, okay, we're going to throw 5-yard slants all day, and Green Bay's just not going to be able to tackle well enough to get off the field. That's no longer the case. And a lot of the little like screen routes and short little routes that the Saints like to throw, Green Bay has defended really well through 2 weeks. Jair Alexander is the best bubble screen corner mm-hmm. I've ever seen. He just attacks it with enjoyment. He just loves to go break up a wide receiver bubble. So that's not a place where I think, you know, the Saints can really attack. Frankly, I think if the Saints are going to score enough to hang with Green Bay, I think Alvin Kamara is just going to have to do it all. And he's going to have to win down the field. He's going to have to break off a couple chunk runs. It's going to have to be that kind of thing, because even if Michael Thomas plays, and we don't know as we sit here recording this if he's going to, you have to assume mm-hmm. not going to be 100%. And so his ability as a big play receiver is shot. And I don't know, can Drew Brees throw the ball more than 30 yards down the field? We haven't really seen him do it with any sort of consistency. Maybe the answer is Taysom Hill has to do what he did in the Minnesota game. And that's, man, that is a weird thing to say about the Saints team, but I think it's real.
Yeah, it's really strange to talk about the idea of taking Drew Brees off the field at any time. It's a right. weird thing to talk about. Now, we did see him hit, it was like 43 air yard pass during to a tight end during the week one game. But as you mentioned, consistency is really the question here. And of course, we're only 2 games in. So the Saints will definitely be looking to find ways to get back on the horse here, and they'll need to do it quickly as they go up against a very talented Green Bay team. Peter, always a pleasure, man. Love talking to you, and looking forward to this game on Sunday.
Same to you, Ross. It's going to be a blast.
And that wraps up this Thursday crossover edition of Locked On Saints. Big thank you to Peter Bukowski for coming through. Make sure y'all throw him a follow at Peter_Bukowski. And check out tomorrow's episode of Locked On Packers along with Locked On Saints to get more information and be ready for Sunday's big matchup, the Sunday Night Football matchup between Drew Brees and the Saints, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Can the Saints turn it around? I'm feeling a little bit more confident now that I've dug into the film and into the analytics, but we'll see. Just how often can this team of veterans and proven players all collectively play as badly as they did Monday night? I don't think very often. So we'll talk about that more tomorrow and get you ready for Sunday night's game. I thank you very much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.